Exodus 36 today, and it might seem that the next few chapters are a bit of deja vu, and there's a reason for that. Earlier in Exodus, we saw God give Moses the instructions for building the tabernacle. In the next few chapters, we're going to see the tabernacle actually built. As we see at the end of verse 1, they are to do the work just as the Lord commanded. For them, that means obedience. That's good. For us, it means that, well, it means that we will be reading, for the second time, some of the most mundane details and descriptions in Scripture. There will be a lot of cubits, plenty of acacia wood overlaid with gold, fine linens with blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, etc., etc., etc.
So what do we do here? We're not exactly repeating the most exciting Bible content here. So should we just skip on into Leviticus?
Well, to be honest, a lot of people do, but I don't recommend it. God directed Moses to write this passage again-ish for a reason. There is a depth to the tabernacle that we simply didn't have time for on the first walkthrough. For the Israelites, the first time was directions, or blueprints really, and the second time is actually constructing it. That obedience is crucial. But for us, we get the opportunity to dig a little deeper into the meaning of this tabernacle, this phenomenal place where God will dwell among his people.
Now, the first time we saw the tabernacle, we focused on the simple description of the elements and showed how it was a picture of the new creation of God. This time, we point out how the tabernacle, the tent of the old covenant, also points us to Christ, the mediator of the new covenant.
That is powerful. That is what reading the Bible is all about, the revelation of God. So think of this time through as our Emmaus Road. The chapter opens with the offering of materials necessary to make the temple, and this is important. As the people give, they invest themselves into the work. Jesus tells us that where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So investing your treasure is a way to lead your heart where you want it to go. Invest in God's work, and your heart will follow.
And the Israelites are definitely invested in this project. Pretty quickly, the donations collected are more than enough. So Moses lets them know. It's nice to see the honesty here. Rather than collecting endlessly, they stop.
Then reading in verse 8, all those who were skilled among the workers made the tabernacle with 10 curtains of finely twisted linen and blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, with cherubim woven into them by expert hands. The curtains were made of 4 colors, white linen with blue, purple, and scarlet yarn. These 4 colors have often been identified with depictions of Jesus in the Gospels. White is the color of purity for Jesus the righteous in the Gospel of Luke. Blue is the color of sky, representing the divinity of Christ in John. Purple is for his kingship in Matthew. And red for Jesus' suffering as a servant in Mark.
The cherubim woven throughout the tabernacle were angels, and as the tabernacle is a picture of Christ, it's no wonder that it's surrounded by angels. Angels were present at Jesus' birth, during his ministry, at his death, and his resurrection.
The curtains for the tabernacle were woven together in layers. The linen and yarn curtains were for the inside of the temple, to be seen by those who entered. Laid over this inner, beautifully woven fabric was another layer of curtains, this one made of goat hair. Verse 14, they made curtains of goat hair for the tent over the tabernacle, 11 altogether. All 11 curtains were the same size, 30 cubits long and 4 cubits wide. The goats in this region were a rich black color, and their wool was regularly used for tent making in the region. Now, 30 cubits, if you'll remember.
Cubits,
as you'll recall, was about 45 feet long, and it was about 6 feet tall. 11 of these would give you almost 500 feet of curtain to weave together, or 3,000 square feet of coverage. Over these layers were two additional layers, one made of ram skins, and finally, a waterproof leather layer, made from the hides of sea cows.
Sea cows?
Well, the King James Version says they're sea cows. Actually, it's not 100% certain what animal it is. could be badgers. The main thing is, it was an animal skin, but mostly I just enjoy saying sea cows.
The tabernacle had a heavenly feel inside, with angels and beautiful colors, but outwardly, it looked like just any other tent. Similarly, Jesus was fully God, but his appearance was no different from your typical first century Jew.
I love this picture. Both the tabernacle and Jesus had heavenly grandeur on the inside, but regular old skin on the outside. Isaiah 53, speaking of Jesus, says, "He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him."
Philippians 2 also speaks of Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, took on human likeness, taking on the form of a servant.
That is phenomenal, and it's essential for us. Hebrews reminds us that the Son of God had to take on human form so that he could be like us, so that he could relate to our struggle, to our temptations. And even the metals used in the tabernacle to hold the curtains together speak of Christ. The gold rings holding the inner curtains together speak of divinity, and the bronze of the judgment he would take upon himself while he is in human form.
Verse 20, they made upright frames of acacia wood for the tabernacle. Now, without poles, a tent is just a bunch of fabric. And the tabernacle was held up by a system of 46 upright poles with crossbeams, all of acacia wood. Acacia trees grow throughout the Middle East and Africa, and they happen to be one of my favorite and most hated trees.
Acacia trees are beautiful, by the way. They're those very tall trees with a large flat canopy way up high that you often see in pictures of African plains, where the animals go to find shade. But hold on here. You're saying that you have a love-hate relationship with a tree?
Absolutely. I mean, they're fascinating trees. There's this resin in the tree that various tribes have used for years to heal wounds. If you pierce the tree, its sap oozes out, and you can apply it to wounds, and there's a natural antiseptic property in it.
So when you pierce the acacia tree, healing flows out?
Pretty much. It's an amazing picture of Christ, a gnarled tree of the desert, which when pierced, brings forth life. Now that's why I love it.
Okay, but you also said that you hate the tree.
Yes. Most species of acacia have these terrible thorns. Some are longer than 3 inches, and they're like iron. They're formidable. We've replaced many a tire in Kenya because of these thorns. And I'm not even going to go into the pain of stepping on one. Let's just say I bear in my body the scar of many an acacia thorn.
Wow. Now think about that. The wood used in the tabernacle, the place where sins were atoned for, was from a tree that was cursed with thorns at the fall of man. The curse of sin upon nature brought into the place where sacrifices were offered.
I'm also convinced that because of this reason that the crown of thorns placed on Jesus' head was a crown of acacia thorns. The tree would have been present in Jerusalem, the wood was throughout the tabernacle, and man, did those thorns hurt.
Wood often symbolizes humanity, and covering the acacia wood in the tabernacle elements was a layer of gold, again a symbol of the humanity and divinity of Christ.
Right. Now, this chapter ends with a description of 2 curtain doorways for the tabernacle. Verse 35, they made the curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen, with cherubim woven into it by a skilled worker. They made 4 posts of acacia wood for it and overlaid them with gold. They made gold hooks for them and cast their 4 silver bases. For the entrance to the tent, they made a curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen, the work of an embroiderer. And they made 5 posts. And they made 5 posts with hooks for them. They overlaid the tops of the posts and their bands with gold and made their 5 bases of bronze.
There were 2 curtains, one separating the Holy of Holies from the holy place inside the tabernacle. This one was woven with cherubim throughout to match the interior of the tabernacle. The second curtain was beautifully woven, but without the cherubim. The second curtain was the front curtain of the tabernacle, visible to the outside world.
This curtain would have been one of the only colorful parts of the tabernacle for anyone outside. While the tent would have been a drab color, surrounded by plain white curtains, the doorway leading into the tabernacle was filled with color, the very colors of the interior of the tabernacle itself. and it was the only way into the tabernacle, just as Jesus is the only way to the Father.
Exactly. John 14:6 says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
And I love that about the Lord. He could have made it really complicated to come to him, but he made it simple. There is one way to approach the Father, and there was only one way to enter the tabernacle.
And even though there is only one way, God wants that way to be made known to everyone. The door wasn't hidden inside, and neither is Jesus. And here's why all of this is so amazing. This is more than just a fun little puzzle challenge to find all the ways in which the tabernacle and Jesus are similar. The most important connection between the two is in three crucial words: God with us. The tabernacle is the place that God chose to dwell among his people. All of the sacrifices and priests and elements of the tabernacle made it possible for God to be with them. And for us, Jesus is Emmanuel. The verse in John chapter 1 that tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the word dwelt in Greek there is the same word used for tabernacle, as in the Word tabernacled among us. That's Jesus. But there is so much to that. What it takes for God to dwell with us and what it means is mind-blowingly complex and detailed, and yet so simple and powerful. He is God with us.
And that's it for Exodus 36. Join us tomorrow for more Tabernacle on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.